text 12. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada. Hiranyakashipu speaking to his son Prahlad. Oh, most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being who is above everything, who is in control of everyone, and was all pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why is he not present before me in the pillar, in the column or pillar, stamba, purport? Demons sometimes declare to a devotee that they cannot accept the existence of God because they cannot see him. But what the demon does not know is stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Aham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. I never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my yogamaya. The Lord is open to being seen by devotees, but non-devotees cannot see him. The qualification for seeing God is given in the Brahma Samhita, 5.38. Prem anjana churita bhakti vilo chanena. A devotee who has developed a genuine love for Krishna can always see him everywhere. Whereas a demon, not having a clear understanding of the Supreme Lord, cannot see him. When Hiranyakashipu was threatening to kill Prahlad Maharaj, Prahlad certainly saw the column standing before him and his father. And he saw that the Lord was present in the pillar to encourage him not to fear his demoniac father's words. The Lord was present to protect him. Hiranyakashipu marked Prahlad's observation and asked him, "Where is your God?" Prahlad Maharaj replied, "He is everywhere." Then Hiranyakashipu asked, Why is he not in this pillar before me? Thus, in all circumstances, a devotee can always see the Supreme Lord, whereas a non-devotee cannot. Prahlad Maharaj has been addressed here by his father as the most unfortunate. Hiranyakashipu thought himself extremely fortunate because he possessed the property of the universe. Prahlad Maharaj, his legitimate son, was to have inherited this vast property. But because of his impudence, he was going to die at his father's hands. Therefore, the demoniac father considered Prahlad the most unfortunate, because Prahlad would not be able to inherit his property. Hiranyakashipu did not know that Prahlad Maharaj was the most fortunate person within the three worlds, because Prahlad was protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such are the misunderstandings of the demon. They do not know that a devotee is protected by the Lord in all circumstances. Konteha, konteha, pratijani, name bhakti pranashyati. Aman gyana tamarandasya, karanjana shalakai. Chakshura militamena, tasmai shri gurave namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Vaitikarana, Shivasri Gauravatam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It's explained that the powerful, purifying presence of a pure devotee can change the structure of the material world. The presence of a pure devotee can actually hold back the material energy and alter its presentation. Prabhupada used to tell us that when devotees are performing sankirtana, chanting the holy name of the Lord, they're actually pushing back the material energy. They're pushing back the influence of maya. Whether they're chanting the holy name or distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Therefore, when devotees are distributing books in front of, on a sidewalk, in front of someone's store, the owner of the store will get very disturbed. "Please, don't distribute Bhagavad Gita in front of my store, because people are not coming into my store." So the energy that's created by a devotee, he creates a certain spiritual energy by his performance of bhakti. So in the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, Being a Shantabhakta, pure devotee of the Lord, he created an aura of spiritual energy, and it affected his father. His father, Hiranyakashipu, intended to speak very badly about Ishvara, Jagadishvara. But the Acharyas explain that the same thing that happened with Shishupal in Dwapara Yuga is happening here with Hiranyakashipu. Because of the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee, Saraswati is always sitting on the tongue, Vag Ishvara, Vag Isha. The Isha means the controller of Vag. The controller of speech is Saraswati. So Saraswati is residing, of course, wherever nice speech is being given. So in this case, by the presence of Prahlad, Saraswati resided on the tongue of Hiranyakashipu. So this verse, Hiranyakashipu is actually explaining, he's very nicely giving a definition of God. And he's actually very nicely glorifying Prahlad. Because when you take the Sanskrit words manda bhagya, it's manda, manda bhagya. He's not abhagya, but he's bhagya. So actually, this verse, Hiranyakashipu is saying, oh, most fortunate one. And then we hear from Bhagavatam that the absolute truth is understood in three ways. Vedanti tatvavidas, yatajjnanam advayam. Pramati paramatmati bhagavan deshavyate. There's three ways to understand the absolute truth. One is Bhagavan, Paramatma, and one is Super Soul, Paramatma. So here, Hiranyakashipu very nicely, he's explaining. He gives us the full definition of the Supreme Absolute Truth. First he says, Prahlad, you're describing a Supreme Being who's above everything. So that Supreme Being, God, is the Supreme Person. He is the Supreme Being. So this is the Bhagavan. He's the Supreme Being. He's above everyone else. Asam Urdhva. Asam Urdhva. No one is Sama. No one is equal to Krishna. Urdhva. No one is above him. So in the first phrase, Hiranyakashipu, Saraswati enters his tongue and causes him, in the name of decrying God, and the name of insulting the Lord of Prahlad, he's actually glorifying him, very specifically. First he says, you've always described a supreme being other than me. A supreme being was above everything. So that now, in this phrase, Hiranyakashipu is saying, he's glorifying Bhagavan. And then he says, who is the controller of everyone? So in this phrase, he's describing the Paramatma. Because the Paramatma is controlling everyone. Everyone is moving. Everything is moving by the arrangement of the Paramatma. Every atom is moving by the presence of the Paramatma. The planets are moving by the presence of Shirdakshay Vishnu. And we are moving by the presence of Paramatma, reminding us of our karma and directing us. And then he says, this Lord is the controller of everyone. Then he says he's all-pervading. So the all-pervading aspect is Brahman. And then he says, but where is he? Is he everywhere? Then why is he not present in this pillar, the stambha? So of course he is present. So he's actually present in the pillar as stambha nishringa. Stanu. Stanu nishringa. He's standing there. Krishna is standing in every atom. He's standing in every pillar. It's like in Mayapur, nishringa is standing there. Stambha. It's called stanu. Stanu means standing or stambha. He's standing there. His eyes are blazing, his muscles are taut, he's gnashing and gnawing his teeth, his heart, his breath, he's breathing very rapidly, he's standing on his tiptoes, he's ready to pounce. He's ready to pounce on his enemy. This is called Stanu Nishringa. This is the most powerful form of Nishringa. There's Ugra. There's different Ugra means horrible, ghastly, frightening. Ugra. It's Ugra Nishringa. There are different forms of Ugra Nishringa. And there's different forms of Lord Nishringa. There's Prahlad Nishringa. There's Lakshmi Nishringa. Then there's Stanu. This is Stanu. So this is the one, actually, Hiranyakashipu is also describing. He's Stambhe. Jagadishvara is Stambhe. He's in the Stambha. This Stanu Nishringa. So this is the most ferocious form of Lord Nishringa. Just before he pounces on Hiranyakashipu, he's poised, ready to strike. And then after that, of course, he relaxes. Because all his anger and all his protective feelings for Prahlad are contained at that moment when he comes out of the pillar. And he's in the most angry form, Stanu Nrisingham. So we see that although in the name of decrying God, Saraswati forced him to speak very accurately. Hiranyakashipu actually gave us a very nice definition of God. He's a supreme being, he's a controller of everyone, and he's all-pervading. This is what is spoken in this Sanskrit verse. And we see in psychology, they have a phrase, they say that this is a Freudian slip. A Freudian slip. When you say something is on your mind, or something is in your heart, but you're hiding it. You don't want anyone to know how you feel, and somehow you speak it in front of, maybe even in front of the person. You may have some bad feelings towards a person, you're meeting with them, and you're thinking something badly about them, and you're just talking, and then all of a sudden it comes out. It's called inadvertently or unconsciously. You say, actually, you're a jerk. You're a fool. Wait a minute. I didn't mean that. You're actually very nice. You're a good vice president of the temple. You're a nice president. I didn't mean that. I was just a slip. This is called a Freudian. He was a great psychologist, so-called great psychologist in the Western world. So it slipped out. So in the same way, because Hiranyakashipu was trained in the Vedas, he was Brahman, he was initiated Brahman. He learned so many Vedic knowledge, he understood. So that's why he's able to speak, actually. So when he wanted to decry the Lord, he actually glorified the Lord. And then again in Dwapara Yuga, when Shishupal was criticizing Krishna, he was saying, he said, Adama, Dhamma means place, or location. So he was trying to criticize Krishna by saying, you're the lowest of men, you're Adama, your place is down there. Shishupal was saying, oh Krishna, you're Adhama. But then it's actually, you can take the Sanskrit another way and say, you're the person, Shishupal is actually glorifying Krishna by saying, you're the person who sends everyone down to a lower place. Just like if you're a very great sports champion, anyone who comes to compete with you, you start as equals, but then if you defeat them, they become lower than you. Because you're number one and they become number two, or they become defeated. So many people come to defeat Krishna in so many different ways, so many demons, and they always go to the lower position. He always defeats them. He's Ajita. He's never conquered. Well, this is a very nice point. And then, of course, we see in the purport, Prabhupada's bringing up the conception of seeing the Lord. And he qualifies Prahlad's ability to see the Lord. First of all, he had understanding of the Lord. He had knowledge of the Lord. So to see the Lord means we must have knowledge. Practically speaking, to see anything in this world requires knowledge. If you want correct perception, correct understanding of an object or of a phenomenon, you must know that object, or you must understand that phenomenon. The same applies in the field of science, or mundane science, microbiology. If someone gives you a microscope and puts a slide under that microscope with some blood sample or some cells and asks you to look through the microscope, what do you see? You'll look through the microscope and you'll say, oh, I see some squiggles, some red, some circles. Oh, what does it mean? I don't know. What is it? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not trained. So I can't see. So our ability, but then if you study the science of microbiology, you learn that this is a cell, this is a living being, a very small unit of life, and these are the different vacuoles and flagellum and all the different particles, and this is how it moves, this is its motility principle, and this is how it evacuates, this is how it eats and reproduces. You have so much knowledge, then when you look, then you see, oh yes, I'm seeing. So Prabhupada explains the first qualification of that Prahlad had for seeing his Lord everywhere was knowledge. He had knowledge, understanding. And he contrasts this with the non-devotee who has no knowledge of God. vigyan, tattva vigyan. He doesn't have this. He has knowledge, and he knows science. He may know so many things, and he can see so many things and understand so many things. But he doesn't have knowledge of God. He hasn't been trained. He hasn't learned. So therefore, he doesn't have the foundational requirement to perceive God. That foundation is sambandha gyan. But there's more than that required. There's more than just knowledge or understanding. Then that's explained that Prahlad had knowledge plus a mentality. What was that mentality? It was seva bhav. He had the attitude of service. He had the attitude of service, that I want to serve the Lord. So there's two things required to see God. You want to see God. First you need knowledge of God, and then you need a mentality of service. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Navavedgrayam Indraya Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayam Eva Spuratida. This spurti, Krishna spurti, means vision. To see Krishna, to have that vision, one must have sevan mukhe, jivado. He must have this mood of seva, seva bhav. So this is this attitude. When we use the word attitude, we are talking about mentality. We are talking about the mind. And Prahlad's case, when we talk about a service attitude, we're talking about love. We're talking about appreciation. And Prahlad Maharaj, his appreciation of the Lord is called Shantarati. His attachment, his affection for the Lord is adoration. He loves the Lord. The Lord is great. The Lord is omnipotent. The Lord is everywhere. He is the powerful protector of his devotees. This passive adoration, passive love, Shantarati. So he's the beginning of pure devotion. So in this vision, with this mentality and this knowledge, he is quite confident of the presence of my Lord, and he's quite confident of seeing my Lord. Just like in the same verse, Hrinakashipu is using the word madanyat, madanyat jagadishvara. He says, madanya. Anya means there's no other. Just like we have this famous verse, harinam, harinam, harinam eva kevalam, kalo anastev, 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 gatir anyata, anyata. Anyata means there is no other way. Now let's say it's the best way, it's the fastest way for Krishna Spurti or Darshan of Krishna is Harinam. So now Hiranyakashipu is saying, Madanyat Jagadishvaraha, there is no other Ishvara but me. Because he does not have the mentality of bhav. He does not have love for the Lord. But when we see in the ninth canto, when it describes the mood of the pure devotee, he also has this madanyat. Saranam ridyam mayam, saranam ridyam tvaham, madanyat te najanapi. He says that the sadhu says, saranam ridyam mayam. Krishna is saying that the devotee, the saintly person, he's in my heart. I'm thinking of him. I have love for him. I have adoration for him. I have love for him. The devotee is in my heart. Saranam ridyam mayam. And then he says, saranam ridyam tvaham. He said, I am in his heart. So this is the bond of love between the Lord and the devotee. And then the next line he says, Krishna's explaining, he said, madanya, tena janaki. They don't know such a devotee, such a sadhu. He doesn't know anyone else but me. Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. My Jagadisha is Hari, not Hiranyakashipu. Jaya Jagadisha Hiranyakashipu, Jaya Jagadisha Hiranyakashipu. He doesn't chant this. He says, Jaya Jagadisha Hari, Hari. So this is the devotee. He has the Lord in his heart. So therefore he's able to have perception of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita explains this verse also. For one who sees the Lord everywhere and sees everything in him, he is never lost to the Lord. Sarvam chamayi pashyati, sarvam chamayi pranashyati. He says his prana, he never loses his prana because he's always seeing the Lord. And Prabhupada explains in one lecture in 1969 in Los Angeles, he says that this verse is actually talking about Gopi Bhav. Because the ability to see Krishna everywhere, to see everything in Krishna, depends on love, depends on mentality of love. And Prabhupada explains that the gopis, to try to see like the gopis, this is actually what this verse is saying. This is in, I believe it's in Los Angeles, 1969, in the Bhagavad Gita lectures that we were reading last night. He said, the gopis are exhibiting this verse perfectly. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, he's never lost to me. So it's a vision. It's a cultivation. As our appreciation for the love increases, our appreciation, our affection, and our mentality, our attitude of service increases, then we can perceive the Lord and see the Lord more and more and more. This is actually the purpose of Krishna consciousness, to develop this pure love for the Lord, to see Him everywhere. The gopis of Vrindavan, they could not see anything. They could not see anything but the Lord. Sometimes they would try to forget Krishna. And if they'd open their eyes, they'd look up and see the blue sky. They'd say, oh, this blue sky, this is Shyam. Shyam Megh. These clouds are the color of Shyam. Where is that Shyam? Where is he? And then, let me close my eyes and forget about him. If I close my eyes, we can forget about him. Sometimes if something's very frightening or fearful, we close our eyes, we think, if I close my eyes, I won't see it. Out of sight, out of mind. But when they close their eyes, then it becomes black. And when Radharani closes her eyes, it's black. And again, she says, oh, this blackness is like the black of night. This is like Amavasya. Amavasya is my favorite night, because that's when I go to see Krishna. Of course, she goes every night, but Amavasya she likes because it's very dark, and Radharani likes everything Shyam color. Black deer, the black night. So Amavasya is a dark night. So she said, let me close my eyes and forget him. And she closes her eyes and she sees this black color, and again she sees Krishna. They have a phrase that, when you're with your beloved, you see one beloved before you. When you're with your lover, you see one lover. But if you're separated from your beloved, you see your beloved everywhere. So this is the nature of prema, is that whether you open your eyes or whether you close your eyes, you see Krishna within you and without you. So that's why this verse says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me and sees me in everything, he's never lost to me. So this is it's a question of not being lost to Krishna. Don't be lost to Krishna. So also, Hiranyakashipu, he's giving us a very nice point here. How not to be lost for Krishna. If you're lost, if you've lost something, if something is, you had some possession, you had some object, and you lost it, then what do? You inquire. You ask a question. Where is that? Where is my possession? Where is my wallet? Where is my stereo? Where is my passport? You ask a question. Where is it? Have you seen it? What happened to it? So, Hiranyakashipu, he's asking the same. He says, kwa so? Kwa? He said, first he defines the Lord, then he says, where is the Lord? So also, in this verse, we see that Saraswati made Hiranyakashipu speak in such a way that he gives us Sambandha Tattva, and he also gives the Abhideya Tattva. Abhideya means the practice of the realization or the implementation of that knowledge. It's we have theory and practice. So Sambandha is the theoretical knowledge. Then the practice is the Abhideya. And by practicing that Abhideya, with chanting, serving, surrendering, and loving Krishna, we come to the goal, which is Prayojan Tattva, our love of God. So here, first he defines God. He's all-pervading, Brahman. He's the controller of everything, Paramatma. He's the Supreme Personality of God. He's the Supreme Being, Bhagavan. And then he says, Madanyat, there's no one else. And he says, oh, Bhagya, you're very fortunate, Prahlad. And then he says, Kwa? Kwa, where is he? Kwa? Kwa so? He says, where is he? So Hiranyakashipu would say, where is he? So he's asking the question, where is he? So this is actually the Abhideya. This is the mood of viraha, of separation. And the devotee, he's feeling, yes, Krishna says if I'm always seeing him, that everywhere and everything in him, that I won't be lost to him. But now I feel lost. Somehow my most prized possession, that matchless gift of the lotus feet of Krishna, are not in my eyes. I cannot perceive the beautiful, sweet form of Shyamasundara in my heart. So I am lost. I am separated from the Lord. So therefore I must ask everyone, hey Radhe Vrajadev, Kuta, have you seen, where is Krishna? Is he in Vrindavan? Is he in your heart? Have you seen my Lord? Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was completely pulsating with this mood of separation, asking everyone. He would go up to everyone and practice, just like you could imagine. Imagine a mother. If her first child, she's very attached to the child, her very first child. After a long time, she couldn't have a child. She prayed to the demigods and to Krishna, and somehow she got a child. So she's so attached to that child. She must love that child so much. But somehow the child disappears. Someone snatches him from the yard, like the two thieves when they stole Nimai Pandit. They stole him, put him on their shoulders, and ran away with all his jewels. They tried to steal his jewels in Mayapur. So Sachimata went completely mad. She was running everywhere. Where's my Nimai? Nimai, Nimai. So this is the mother. She's feeling so much separation, so much intensity. That's how Mahaprabhu felt when he came back to Navadvipa after being initiated, receiving his Krishna mantra, Gopal mantra from Ishwarpuri. He was going up to everyone. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Where is Krishna? Just like the mother, if she was separated from her child, anyone she saw, she would go up to her husband or her brother, anyone. She'd go to the neighbor. Have you seen my son? Has he come through here? Have you seen him? Where is he? I haven't seen your son. And everyone would say, I don't know. No, tell me something. Please tell me something. Have you heard his ankle bells? Because little boys have ankle bells. Have you seen him? Anything? Or have you seen anybody that maybe knows him or was with him or any of his friends? So this is what Lord Chaitanya, he had this mood when he came back. So this mood is actually only possible when one feels that yes, Krishna is my greatest possession. Krishna is mine. As we hear from the Acharyas, they say if a person can one day, one time, approach the Lord in humility and sincerity and say, my dear Lord, from this day forward, I surrender completely to you. I simply want to engage in your loving service. If one can do that with full sincerity, then Krishna will accept that person as his own. He will accept that person as his devotee, as his ward, as his member of his family. So this is the feeling that the devotee has, that yes, I've lost Krishna and I want to find him. And this burning desire to find him is what drives the devotee forward in devotional service. I want to see Krishna. I want to find my Krishna. Where is he? And this is the underlying mood of service, the attitude. And we see that according to this attitude, you will see Krishna in different ways. You'll see him in different ways. When Krishna and Balaram entered the wrestling arena of Kamsa in Mathura, it's explained that all the people in the audience, they saw him in different ways. Because there are five mukhya rasas and seven guna rasas. There are five primary rasas with Krishna, relationships, moods and mellows. And there are seven secondary. It's explained that all the rasas were displayed there. And this is why Krishna, another name for Krishna is Akhila Rasamrita Murti. Rasa Amrita. He is his form, his murti, his body, his very transcendental form, his beautiful form is Rasa Amrita Murti. Akhila. It is unlimited rasas within Krishna. And he reciprocates with all living entities in different mellows of love, sometimes in chivalry or wonder. So it's explained that when Krishna entered the wrestling arena, that the ladies of Vrindavan, or the ladies of Mathura, they saw him in Shringar Ras. They saw him in Madhurya Ras. And the Brishnis and his relatives, like Nanda and others, they saw him in the mood of parental love. And then the yogis, or so many yogis in the audience, just like now, so many yogis live in Vrindavan. So they saw him as the great lord, as the Enchantaras. And then his friends were there, and they saw him as their friend, in Sakiras. And then the wrestlers, when they saw him, they saw that, he's a great hero, a chivalrous Ras, Vira Ras. But then, when Kamsa saw him, he was Bhayanaka, Bhaya. We saw Abhay Charan, Prabhupada is fearless. So when Kamsa saw him, he thought this. He was full of fear. Oh, the Lord created fear. So each person in the assembly, in that place in Mathura, they saw Krishna according to their mentality, according to their love. If they had an impersonal mentality, they would just see Krishna as representing some energy, the energy of wonder, Adbhuta Ras. Some people saw him in Adbhuta. Adbhuta means wonder. And some people saw him in this Rodra, this angry. So depending on how your mind is set, that's how you'll see Krishna, or see the world. If you are, that's why we have this phrase, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. The mind of the Atma. Because what is the position of the mind? That determines the position of the body. Atma means body, soul, self, everything. So if you're thinking that Krishna is not nice, then you'll see that Krishna will express himself in unfavorable ways. If you're always having fear of God, then Krishna will reveal himself in a fearful way, with lightning bolts and thunder and all kinds of fearful situations. But if you have a friendly mood towards Krishna, if your mind is a friendly attitude of service, yes, Krishna is my friend. He's actually my friend. Then you will see him manifesting his presence everywhere in a friendly way. It's explained that the Mahabhagavat, when he sees the material energy, he doesn't see the material energy, although he sees it on one level. But behind the material energy, he sees his Ishtadev. In the moving and non-moving things. So this is the vision that the Mahabhagavat has it. When he, because he has love for Krishna, he sees his Lord in the heart. He sees his Lord in the tree, in the dog, everywhere. Even in Christian theology, there's this conception of Paramatma Darshan. Paramatma Darshan. The great adepts and spiritual preceptors in the line of Christianity, such as Saint Francis, they had Paramatma Darshan. Jai Shishi Gornitai. Paramatma Darshan means Jai Shishi. Paramatma Darshan means that they saw God everywhere. And so Saint Francis, with his vision of Paramatma, he would say, "Oh brother tree, oh brother bird, oh brother water, oh brother land, oh brother cloud, everywhere brother." Brother means there's a common father. He was seeing the presence of God everywhere, Paramatma. So this is his mood. He had this. So he didn't think, "This is my enemy. This is my friend." There was no duality. There was no fear within him. The devotee, he sees his whole world according to his attitude of service and his attitude of love towards the Lord. Some devotees, you see, they're very negative. And they treat other devotees in a negative way. Because whatever your relationship is with the other devotees, and how you express yourself with the other devotees, that is your relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you're what they call a negative number, and you treat people in a negative way or an unfriendly way, that means your relationship, your mentality, your attitude of love is very negative. It is like Bhayaras, it's very fearful. It's not a very nice relationship with the Lord. The Lord is sweet, He's loving, He's kind and dear. And He's the nearest thing to us. He's always sending His love to us and His kindness to us. And He wants us to try to cultivate this vision, to try to see Him. So the devotee, he tries to see Krishna. How do you try to see Krishna? By serving Him with a mood of pleasing Him. And also by trying to see that the Lord I'm serving is everywhere before me. And He's coming before me in so many different forms. Every devotee is actually my Lord. That when we address a devotee, we say, "Oh, Prabhu." So Prabhu is a name for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is called Prabhu. And when you're just speaking tattva, then you also say Mahaprabhu, because he's Rasaraj and Mahabhav. So he's Mahaprabhu. He's a Maha, and the Maha means he's Mahabhav of Radharani, and he's Prabhu, means he's Krishna, the Lord. So when we address others as Prabhu, it means, "You are my Lord, my Ishtadev has come before me, he's within your heart." Some people, they say, "Oh, I have a deity of Giridhari. I have a deity of Gauranitai." So your deity of Gauranitai or Giridhari is not only in your room. He should be fixed in your heart. And the Mahabhagavat, he sees his deity in the heart of everyone. When Prabhupada was in Calcutta, he was spending hours and hours in a temple admiring Radha Govinda. The Lord of his heart, Radha Govinda. And when he saw the devotees, when Prabhupada met someone, he saw the Lord in his heart also. When the devotees asked Prabhupada, "Well, who's in the heart of the devotee? Is it Paramatma, Vasudeva, or Vishnu, Narayan? Or is it Shamsundar Krishna, Sri Bangalalitam Niyata Prakasham? Who is Prakash? Who is manifested there?" And Prabhupada said, "According to your attitude, according to your mentality, that is who is there. Because the Paramatma feature, the Vaibhav feature, the Chaturvyuha feature, they are all within Krishna, and he expands these features. So within the super soul, Krishna is also there. So the devotee only wants to see Krishna. We want to see Shamsundar or Giridhari. So this is who is residing in the heart of the devotee." There's one story when Prabhupada was in Bombay. He was speaking in a room darshan. And one life member, he came in and he said, "Srila Prabhupada, you know Bhagavad Gita?" Prabhupada said, "Yes, I know something of Bhagavad Gita." "Well, Swamiji, we see in Bhagavad Gita, it says in the 9th chapter, Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam, that devotees are satatam kirtan, sat kirtan. They're always engaged in chanting the name. But I see that you're speaking here in this room and you're telling your disciples to put this money in the bank and buy this paper and open this temple and buy these deities and buy this cloth and change this. And you're doing so much speaking. But I don't see your satatam sat kirtan. Where is your sat kirtan? Satatam kirtiyanto mam. You're not always chanting. There's so many talks of management and devotees advising them." Prabhupada said, "Really? That is what you think?" Then he said, "You come. Come here." He told the life member, "You come here. And you come and you put your head on my back." So Prabhupada was sitting on small asan in his room in Bombay. So that life member went up to Prabhupada and he put his ear on Prabhupada's back. Like this. And then, so Prabhupada went on speaking with the devotees. And then the man did that for a few seconds. And he went, "Ah, ba, ba, ba." Like in Bengali, "ba, ba." He said, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it." And Prabhupada said, "Well, what's wrong?" He said, "I put my ear to your back, and inside your chest cavity, inside your back, all I could hear was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I can't believe it." So Prabhupada said, and then he said, so Prabhupada said, "So, is this Satatam Kirtiyanto Mam?" And the man said, "Yes, Swamiji, this is Sat Kirtan. The pure devotees are always chanting the holy name of the Lord in their heart of hearts. Krishna is enthroned in the heart of hearts. So the devotee, he is supposed to install Krishna in a throne of his heart. Our heart is a throne. And in the throne of our heart, we should install Krishna there. The particular individual Ishtadev, the form of Krishna that you admire, that you're attracted to, and you love. or at least that you're attracted to, and you aspire to love. Just like, and that form that you install in your heart, on the throne of your heart, should be worshipped with your life, with your prana, with your dana, with your buddhi, with your vacha, with your everything. And then, as you've installed the Lord in your heart, you should install the Lord in the heart of all your associates. Just like the pure devotee, he worships the Lord in the core of his heart. And sometimes his love, his praying for the Lord, becomes like a volcano. That's why Lord Chaitanya was so aptly described by one great acharya as a golden volcano of divine love. Golden volcano of divine love. Because he was spewing forth, he was erupting and spewing forth the lava of liquid prema. The lava of Gopi Bhav. Lava means the flowing substance that comes out from it, erupting a volcano. So the pure devotee, his heart is like a volcano of divine love. And he has the Lord installed there. And when that volcano erupts, he takes the Lord out of his heart and installs him in a temple and says, "Here's my Lord, Krishna Balaram. Isn't he nice? Here's my Lord, Radhasham Sundar. Isn't he nice? Here's my Lord, Gornitai. Isn't he nice?" So Prabhupada had, he erupted in Vrindavan. The prema erupted from his heart. And he said, "Look, you want to see?" Just like Hanuman. When someone said, "Oh, Hanuman, why are you always running to Ram? You know, Ram's in your heart." "Oh, Ram's in my heart." And he ripped open his heart. He ripped open his chest. And he said, "Oh, yes." Just like when Lord Chaitanya came back, he was in that same mood of Dasya Bhav. He was in that same mood of Prema Bhav, of Viraha Bhav. And he was asking Gadadhar, and he was asking his associate, "Where's my Prananath? Where's my Prananath? Where's my Lord of my life? Tell me, show me, help me. I'm dying without him. You must show him to me." And then someone said, "My Lord, he's..." And then Gadadhar said, "Well, he's in your heart." So Lord Chaitanya, he took his hands, which are the hands of Nisringadev, and the nails of Nisringadev are within him. And we said, sometimes we have one godbrother, Nisringa Chaitanya, because he showed this Bhav, this Nisringa Bhav. So he took his hands, which are the nails of Nisringadev, and he grabbed his chest, Mahaprabhu, and he went to rip it open so he could find that Krishna within his heart. And Gadadhar grabbed his hands and said, "No, my Lord, don't. Please don't. The Lord is everywhere. Don't destroy yourself." So this mood was there in Hanuman, is that he had that mood also. So the pure devotee, he brings the Lord out of his heart and installs him in the temple so everyone can see. So our mood is that we are trying to install the Lord in our heart and worship him and trying to see him in the heart of others. And this will make devotion very sweet. This will actually make us progress on the path of bhakti. Because our goal is to see the Lord. But seeing the Lord means serving the Lord. And seeing the Lord means having the mentality that I want to see the Lord. Just like the mentality of Kamsa was, "I'm afraid of the Lord. I'm afraid of Krishna. Afraid, afraid, afraid. Because he's going to come kill me." So when he saw the Lord, he saw fear. He could only see the Lord. But he had this in his mind. So the desire, we have the desire to serve the Lord. And we're serving the Lord. But what is the mentality? Do we have the idea? Do we have the thought, "Yes, I want to see Krishna. I want to see my beloved Lord. I want to see my Lord in your heart. I want to see my Giridhari in your heart. And I'm trying. And that is my mentality. And I want to see my Shamasundar in your heart." "Oh, you've come. Shamasundar is in your heart." So if your deity, if your Lord comes to see you, you will not be happy. You'll not be thrilled. You'll not be anxious to serve the Lord. So the Lord is coming before us all the time as Krishna Dasi and Radhika Dasi and Krishna Das. They're coming before us. Our Lord is coming before us all the time. And then we look, "Oh, there's so-and-so." Because as explained in the six types of Vaishnava Parad, the six types of Vaishnava Parad, or Saru Nindu, is to not be happy when you see a Vaishnava. To not be happy when you have his darshan, because it means that you're in Maya. What our mentality is, we see some devotee come by, "Oh, there's Krishnadas, I better go the other way. Well, there's Maharaj, he's going to ask me for a donation, I better go the other way. There's that Swami, he's going to come ask me for some money, I better run away." This is our mentality. This is sarunindha. This is an offense. But if we're actually seeing, oh, I'm worshipping my Giridhar. Oh, Giridhar, you're so beautiful. Oh, Shyamasundar, you're so beautiful. Then devotee knocks on her door. Hey, what do you want? Don't bother me. Sanatana Goswami says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you're worshipping your Thakur. You're doing your puja in your mandir. And when Krishnadas comes in your mandir, you should stop your puja to worship your deity that has come in the moving form of your Krishnadas. Your Shyamasundar, you're worshipping on the altar all by yourself in your little temple in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of your room or house. And then Krishnadas comes to your door, and then you say, don't bother me, I'm doing my puja. But Sanatana Goswami says, no, you're not doing any kind of puja. You're doing puj. You're not doing puja, you're doing puj. And your mentality is not pujava, but pujva. In Bengali, puj means stool. And puja means to worship. So this, you're not doing puja at all. Because actually, if you're understanding, if you're even just a beginning understanding, I'm worshipping my Giridhari, now Giridhari's come in the heart of Krishnadas. So what to do? Serve him. Oh, Giridhari, please sit down. Oh, Krishnadas, please sit down. You want some water? Here's some sweets. Is everything okay? Some sweet words, some asan, some water, some hot sweets. Is your mind peaceful? No, I'm having a serious problem. You have to help me right now. Okay. And you listen to him, and you serve him, and you help him. And if he says, no, I'm okay, I just came to see you. Then you say, okay, will you mind? I'm just doing my puja. May I finish my puja? You can read some books or chant japa if you can wait. In about 20 minutes, I'll be done. Is it okay? He says, yes, I'll wait. You go ahead. This is Krishna consciousness. This is the mentality of loving Krishna. This mentality we have to develop. It's the mentality behind the practice, the hankering. Because if we practice only mechanically, if our performance of sadhana, Vaidhi sadhana, is only mechanical without the cultivation of the mind and the heart, then we can remain, as Krishna's Kaviraj says, on a platform of Vaidhi sadhana for millions of lifetimes, we will never come to raga sadhana, rag sadhana. Rag, the difference between Vaidhi and rag is the position of the mind and heart. Basically, it's just a matter of being friendly. Serving. If your heart is, it develops a mood of service, then everything is an opportunity. Everyone in every situation is an opportunity for service. Dasosmi. So someone comes, let me serve them. That is our mood. So Prabhupada said that for one who is a sincere devotee, Prabhupada made one quote, a sincere devotee will never make any mistakes in the progress of Krishna consciousness. A sincere devotee will never make any mistakes in his practices of Krishna consciousness or his practices of sadhana bhakti or bhakti. The meaning of sincerity is that he's always cultivating this mood of, I am your servant. This is the indication of sincerity. The more you feel as a servant, the more you see as a servant, the more you think as a servant, and the more you act as a servant, that is the degree to which you can function as a sincere Vaishnava, and a degree which you'll be successful in all your actions and dealings. It's based on the concept of Dasosmi, I am your servant. That's how devotees greet one another. Some devotee comes to see you. He's not coming to worship you. He's not coming to honor you. He's coming for you to serve. So that is why when Vaishnavas greet each other, at least you'll see in the society of Gaudiya Sangha, a Vaishnava comes, then the Vaishnava, no matter how senior he is, I've gone to meet very senior Vaishnavas. Mahabhagavad Vaishnavas, I go to see them, they say, Maharaj, they fold their hands and they look at me, how may I serve you? Their first question to me is, how may I serve you? Maharaja, you serve me, I came to worship you and serve you. But that's their mood. Their mood is, I am a servant. They really have that mood in a genuine way. So they're showing us. So we can at least practice. Some Mataji comes to see us, Radhika Mata or Radhika Devi, how may I serve you? I am your servant. You are my Lord. You are my Prabhu. You are my Master. You are my Mahaprabhu. Prabhu means Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu means Radharani, Krishna, Rasaraj Mahabhav. You are my Prabhu. You are my Mahaprabhu. If we don't start thinking about our Lord, then how will we ever see our Lord? As we mentioned, our knowledge and our mentality and our attitude of love determines how we will see the Lord. So we develop knowledge and we cultivate the heart by our feelings and our attitude of service. The service attitude is an attitude of love. To have an attitude of service means to have an attitude of love. And the more we develop the service attitude, the more we develop love. And the more we develop love, the more we can perceive Krishna within the column and outside the column, on the throne of the heart, on the throne of our heart, and on the throne of the hearts of everyone. They have a phrase, they say that you can say anything, but don't put it in writing. So another way to phrase that, you can say, to some extent, you can think anything, but don't say it. So, better if we see so many things. Why? What is the value? Because I only have so many breaths. I am living for years, months, days. Ultimately, I am living for breath. I have so many breaths. And when those breaths are finished, I will die. So my breath, when I breathe, when I speak a word, I am breathing. So my breathing is my prana, pranayama. So will I sacrifice my life? Will I sacrifice my prana for negative vibration? Am I so foolish? Let my breath and my words be Krishna Katha, Hari Katha. And if I can't breathe and speak Hari Katha, then let me do Maun Vrata. Let me be silent and hold my breath. Hold my breath. Because by speaking, you're dying. Every time you speak, you're dying. So you want to die insulting someone? You want to die criticizing someone? You want to die denigrating someone or belittling someone? It's your choice. Rather, we should live in Hari Katha. We should swim in Hari Katha. We should serve Hari Katha. And if we don't have anything to say, then be quiet. There's no, what is the value? You say, you may call a thief a thief. What is the spiritual transcendental value for you, for the ears of the others, and for the world? What does it do to elevate the consciousness of you and others? But if you're always speaking Hari Katha, then the consciousness of those people that may be in bad position, that will come up. Your pure vibration will purify the world, purify the consciousness. Why not act to purify the ethers than to increase the contamination of the ethers? The ethers are contaminated by faithless vibrations. The ethers are contaminated by lies and untruth. The ethers are contaminated by aparad. So therefore people's minds, bodies, and hearts become contaminated by living in such a contaminated atmosphere. But the vibration of Hari Katha and the holy name of the Lord purifies the entire cosmos. So don't take part. Don't offer your valuable life, your prana, your breath to such useless talks. There's no value. It is okay, you're saying, well, what if I call a thief a thief? What if I call a nonsense devotee a nonsense? Okay, you did it. You spoke the truth. But there's levels of truth. The highest truth is the truth about Krishna. The highest truth is Hari Katha, and that truth will purify the universe. You may speak some moral truth, some ethical truth, an ethical and moral truth about someone. It has relative value because it's a relativity. It's a statement of relativity. It's about the person's body anyway. It's about the person's material body and material mind, which are off. It's not about the Atma. But when you speak Hari Katha, that is absolute spiritual vibration, which will elevate the whole world and elevate everyone. So this should be our only discussion, Hari Katha. And that will purify everything. Krishna is controlling everything. Let him take care. I have no time. Unless you're some guru and he's your disciple and Krishna's put him under you or her under you, then you have to maybe speak find some correction in a very loving and tender way, correct someone and help someone. But otherwise, what is the point? You speak ethical truth, relative truth, philosophical truth, moral truth. It is nice, but it's not transcendental. It is not have ultimate value for everything and everyone. But if you're speaking Hari Katha, you're liberating the trees and the insects and the birds and everyone. It's like Haridas Thakur, when the Brahmin criticized him for chanting out loud, he said, "Oh, my Brahmin, is it better to feed yourself and then feed 1,000 people? Or should I?" And the Brahmin said, "Well, of course, it's better to feed yourself and feed 1,000 people." So he said, "Therefore, I'm chanting out loud, because you're telling me to do manasik japa. You're telling me that I should only chant Hare Krishna in the mind. Of course, that's good for me. So I'm feeding myself by manasik japa. But if I chant uchashik japa, if I chant out loud, then I can feed myself, benefit myself, and I can feed 1,000 other living entities. I can benefit." So this is the value of Hare Katha. It is the topmost vibration. It is worth sacrificing our breath for Hare Katha. That is the perfection of sacrifice. To sacrifice our breath and our life to speak the glories of Radha and Krishna. Otherwise, keep quiet. Don't breathe. Don't breathe and don't speak. Do mon vrata and hold your breath. If you can breathe for Krishna and speak for Krishna, then chant day and night. Satatam kirtiyanto mam. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.